You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is eCommerce Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and welcome to eCommerce Radio, your EPN channel where you can get in on the inside track and find out what others are doing to experience great results with their online stores. Whether it's the latest tools, e-commerce platforms, or marketing techniques, this is where we talk about how to have a successful e-commerce experience. Today we are joined by George Eberstadt. He is the CEO and founder of Turn2 Networks. As a true socializer, George has spent the last decade building social technologies, most recently Turn2, which provides a social Q&A platform for online stores. George, a privilege to have you a part of e-commerce radio here on EPN.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So what are some of the big trends in e-commerce today? It seems like it's moving fast and changing quickly.
Yeah, it sure is moving fast. You know, there are the obvious candidates like mobile, but just for fun, I thought I'd try and pick some that might be at least a little less obvious. So here are four trends that are not the same ones everybody always talks about. One is what I call the inherently social store. It's just one flavor of social commerce, but it's one that seems to be working pretty well. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of what's going on in the social commerce world is trying to take, you know, the everyday kind of products that constitute most of what everyone needs to buy and somehow make them social. And you know what? It doesn't work because, you know, nobody wants to hear me talk about the paper towels I just bought. But there are a certain number of products out there that really are, you know, fabulous. You'll see where I'm going with this. And, you know, what makes people willing to talk about the products they're buying or thinking of buying or want to buy is not all the stuff you wrap around it. It's the product itself. So folks like Fab and One Kings Lane and this whole new generation of stores said, let's just build stores online that sell products that people want to talk about. And they've been growing explosively, primarily through, you know, social growth with very modest marketing costs. And, you know, what they're doing is sort of skimming off the top of the online commerce world just those products that are easy to get people to talk about so they can take advantage of social distribution. So that's what I call the inherently social store. That's number one. Number two is what I call multi-channel fights back. You know, the first round of e-commerce definitely went, it was going to the e-commerce players, especially the pure plays. There's been more growth on that side. But I think we're seeing more of the, you know, brick-and-mortar retailers figuring out ways to leverage the assets that they have in the store. You know, showrooming has been a big issue, but now you've got stores that are using more kinds of, you know, online tools to build loyalty for the store experience and online ordering and in-store pickup. I think we'll see a whole bunch more stuff where the people that have a physical presence and an online presence are finding ways to, you know, to take advantage of having, you know, having inventory distributed locally all over the place. The third one I call the multi-channeling of online, or online multi-channel. You know, it used to be you had one place online, you sold your stuff, and it was your storefront. And now with the rise of marketplaces all over the place, an awful lot of retailers are even finding that their own storefront may account for a minority of the online sales that they're getting. You know, Amazon, of course, everyone knows, but, you know, Sears has a big marketplace. Buy.com is a big online marketplace. eBay has been an incredible rebirth story. That's sort of the poster child for, I think, this model of, you know, multi-channel online. And I think we're going to see more of that as the model of sort of sell your stuff everywhere online goes, not just from, you know, extends from your own site to marketplaces to sort of the content world as well. Anywhere you can see something, you'll be able to buy it. I think I'm giving you too long an answer here, so I'll be brief about the last one, which I call loyalty everywhere. I think we're seeing a whole new level of interest in various kinds of loyalty tools. Some relate to brick and mortar. I now have not just in my wallet, not just my usual coffee punch cards, so I get my 11th cup of coffee free, but I have a few different digital cards that are getting scanned at registers when I go to my local hamburger joint. They've got one that's a belly card. There's a handful of tools like that. Kik is a very, enterprise-oriented approach to that for people who shop in chain stores. And there's a whole bunch more. And then the online variants of that, people like 500 Friends that are providing social and other kinds of loyalty programs online. So I think we're seeing just an explosion in loyalty programs in the commerce world.
It might have been a long answer, but it was a very helpful one without a question. Now, what are some of the pitfalls people have or incur when they're looking to open up an e-commerce site? What should they look out for?
Yeah, it's a great question. I sort of confine my answer to that to our perspective being, a vendor in the space. I think, there's an awful lot that goes into opening up an online business on the inventory and fulfillment side that we don't see as much of. But one thing that we see sometimes stores getting in trouble with is trying to bite off too much at once. I think the model that seems to work is plan for the long term, but execute in small pieces. So, decide how big a business you want your online, business to be, and pick a platform that's appropriate for a business that's going to get to that size. Pick that up front, because moving platforms later is going to be a disaster. But that doesn't mean you need to roll out every feature of that platform or use, every e-commerce tool that vendors like us provide up front. I think we see people get in trouble when they try and do too many things at once. They overextend on the IT side. They don't allow enough time for fixing the things that didn't come out right the first time. And now you've got, contracts that are already rolling, and yet you haven't finished the last thing you needed to finish before you can get to the next thing, or you discover some integration dependency that, the next tool you want to employ needs some enhancement to your email system, but you didn't see that coming, and you need to go back and redo the email system. And so executing in small chunks rather than trying to bite off too much at once seems to be the recipe for success.
What approaches to social commerce are working best, and what is not working so well right now?
Yeah, social commerce has been on the top topic list for a few years now. We're learning more. I think it turned out to be more complicated than, we all, by which I mean both stores and people on the vendor side like me. We've been at this almost 5 years now, and it's turned out to be more complicated to figure out what's really working than we thought. So I mentioned, the inherently social store. That's working. The flash sale model, how well that'll work in the long term remains to be seen, but it's been, the epic success story of the last couple of years. I think there's some new stuff coming that is oriented towards social networks, but not necessarily Facebook. Pinterest seems to be doing well. And I think what we'll discover is, Pinterest is not the last new social network that will come along. Social networks are not all one size fits all. Facebook is by far the biggest, but it's not optimized for everything. And some social networks are going to prove to be more useful for layering commerce and shopping on top of. And Pinterest seems to have that quality as well, and I think they're not going to be the last ones. I mentioned social loyalty. I think that that will probably morph a bit before we discover exactly what aspects work and what don't work. What you see is that the people that provide social loyalty capabilities are offering a pretty broad range of programs and tools right now, and I take that as a sign of experimentation. I think we'll discover that some of those tools work well and others work less well, and over time, the e-commerce world will figure out what's the canon of tools that works and settle on those. And then, there's the oldies but goodies, the old on-site social tools. Customer reviews is still the gold standard for social tools for commerce. And then there's newer stuff like what we provide, social Q&A. that's in the same general vein of putting user-generated content directly on the storefront, but it's a more two-way interactive model of doing that. So I think we have not seen, you know, the end of the innovation that's there to be done in just, you know, turning storefronts into social sites as well.
Today we're joined by George Eberstadt, the CEO and founder of Turn2 Networks, joining us today here on eCommerce Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Mr. Eberstadt, what is social Q&A and what sort of result does it deliver?
Well, Eric, I am so glad you asked that. So that's the product that my company, Turn2 Networks, provides. And like I mentioned, it's a tool that, you know, gets installed on the storefront of an e-commerce site, and it enables a shopper on that storefront to ask a question about a product they're considering and get answers to that question, those questions, not just from the store staff or from brand experts, but from other customers like them that have bought that product in the past. That is, turns out to be not an easy thing to pull off, because you need to make sure that all the dialogue is appropriate and that the answers, you know, come back quickly, because you don't want to create an expectation that people will get an answer and then not deliver on it. But when you get it all right and you pull it off, it can be incredibly powerful, both to convert the shopper that's asking the question and to produce dialogue that is available right there on the product detail page for future shoppers, and also for search engine optimization. So when you ask about the kind of results people can expect, here are just some numbers that we measure on our system. Customers who use social Q&A to ask a question while they're shopping convert at a rate between 10 and 15 times higher than the baseline. That's an average across all the stores that use our system. Obviously, those are, you know, well-qualified shoppers to begin with. It's not, you know, 1,000% lift being caused by the system, but it's a really dramatic effect. Shoppers that read the Q&A dialogue that's already on the site, don't necessarily ask their own question, but open the tool to read, convert at a rate between 3 and 7 times higher than the baseline. And one fascinating thing we discovered is that when past customers who've received an email with a question from a current customer go back to the store in order to answer that question, they convert at a rate 2 to 3 times higher than the baseline for the store, which is particularly interesting because they're not coming back to shop. They're coming back just to answer a question, and you see those people often making an impulse purchase while they're there on the storefront. So lots of conversion benefit, and then, of course, there's the SEO benefit. Typically, a system like our social Q&A will generate 2 to 3 times the total volume of user-generated content as a customer review system, and it tends to be very search engine friendly content. You know, it changes frequently. It's got good keywords. So that's great. And all of that can be indexed right on the product detail page, which is where you really want it. So, you know, conversion benefits and SEO benefits in abundance from this kind of tool.
I would be curious, any predictions for the future?
One is reminded of, you know, Yogi Berra's comment that it's always dangerous to make predictions, especially about the future. I think the one thing that we can say safely about the e-commerce world is that it's going to continue to do well and outpace the economy. And even for the last few years, when the economy has been rocky, you know, the e-commerce world has been growing steadily at double digits. No reason to think there's any end in sight for that. So I think fueled by that, as well as just the fact there's lots of opportunities for innovation, we're going to see an enormous amount more innovation just in how e-commerce is done. So I think there was sort of this cycle that we went through over the last decade where, you know, e-commerce came along at the end of the 90s and the early part of the 20s, and it was just, you know, build out your store, and my God, you can buy something online, and isn't that exciting? And then there's sort of a decade in there of where most of the work was just building out all the blocking and tackling needed to make, you know, to fulfill that promise, getting the, you know, the platforms right and the checkout carts right and the content management systems right and, you know, integrating to the fulfillment systems and just, a million things to fulfill that initial promise and make it economical. And now, you know, we see a lot of the stores that we work with, you know, coming out of that. They've got platforms that do the things they need them to do. You know, the back end is working, and they can start to focus on the front end innovation, on user experience innovation, on more ways to get their, you know, to get attention for their products across the web. And I think the next, you know, 5 years are going to have really wonderful innovation, both for, you know, that'll be beneficial for stores and will be really beneficial for shoppers as well.
Good information. Tell us where our listeners can be in contact with you online and also be informed about Turn 2 Networks.
Great. Well, if anyone wants to get in touch with me personally, I'd love to hear from you. My own email is george@turn2.com, T-U-R-N-T-O, as in the people you turn to for advice. And to learn more about Turn 2 Networks, you can go to www.turn2networks.com or just send an email to contact@turn2.com.
Very good. And finally, George, what could you leave with our listeners in form of a tip in conclusion, or if there's anything else we should know about Turn 2 Networks?
Well, I thank you for the chance to talk. We'd love to, you know, work with, learn more about any of the, you know, the folks you have listening to this podcast. So, you know, please do give us a shout.
You certainly are welcome. And he is George Eberstadt, the CEO and founder of Turn 2 Networks. As a true socializer, George has spent the last decade building social technologies, most recently Turn 2, which provides a social Q&A platform for online stores. And the website of reference, once again, is turn2networks.com. George, thanks so much for joining us today on eCommerce Radio.
My pleasure. Thanks, Eric.
Ours as well. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to eCommerce Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to eCommerce Radio. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.